A new report out this week from the Institute for College Access and Success finds some pretty stark numbers on college affordability in Wisconsin. In the last decade, the average student debt in Wisconsin grew 74%. A 2004 college graduate would have been looking at an average of about $16,000 in debt. In 2014, that number grew to around $29,000.
In addition, the percentage of students in Wisconsin graduating with debt rose to 70%, which is the third highest among states. So how exactly did we get to this point, and can this trend of rising college costs be turned around?
Here with us now to talk more about college debt in the state is Sarah Goldrick-Robb, founding director of the Wisconsin Hope Lab and professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So according to this report, in the last decade, we've seen the average student debt in the state shoot up 74%. Just how significant would you say that finding is?
I'd say that it's very significant, and I think that there are people all over Wisconsin and their families who would say that it's significant, that it's very much affecting them and their decision-making right now.
And there are people that will say, well, everything's getting more expensive overall. Are these numbers just a reflection of inflation, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, no, not at all. It's not simply a reflection of inflation. These college costs are rising much faster than inflation, much faster than most things. And there are many reasons for this, but they have a lot to do with policy choices that have been made over the last decade. And they also have to do with what's been happening to families in terms of their employment and their wages over the last decade.
Well, let's zero in on some of those. So you said some of it is due to public policy decisions and implementation. What specifically would you point to as part of the reason for that spike in college debt?
Well, it's important to first know that most college students in this state continue to go to college in the public sector. And what that means is that when they think about where they're going to go, they usually turn to either the University of Wisconsin system or to the Wisconsin Technical Colleges. The enrollment in this state in the private colleges, and in we're still lucky that we don't have too much enrollment in the for-profit colleges, that continues to be low. So the main things that we need to look at is how are the costs of higher education being covered in the public sector, and how much of the costs of providing that education are being covered by state government versus the individual person who has to pay for college themselves, you know, or for their family members. So, and what we're seeing over time are choices that essentially pass those costs on to the individual student rather than sharing those costs among taxpayers.
So that's an interesting point, Sarah. So are you saying that the actual cost, say, per student of a college education, what's being expended to educate someone in college has not necessarily gone up? It's more the balance of who's paying for that?
That's exactly right. And very unfortunately, the words we use in higher education are not very good. The truth is a cost is what it actually costs to educate. And the cost is not changing all that much. What's changing is the price. The price is going up, and it's the price that the individual person pays because somebody else isn't subsidizing it anymore. And so that's the policy decision. You know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, more importantly, Wisconsin taxpayers did more sharing of the burden of paying for higher education together so that an individual who was trying to decide whether to go and pay and go to college wouldn't be scared off from higher education by the price point. Over time, we have made public policy decisions that basically put the bill on the individual, and frankly, it is scaring them now.
So you're saying that the cost, the price tag, maybe we should say, the price tag that individuals are taking on to get a college education is going up. And what are the family level dynamics and economics that are then affecting their ability to do that?
Right. Well, you know, families are having a hard time. I mean, I think all over the state, people know that while in the 80s and 90s, most families saw an increase in their income over the decade, in real terms, in the last decade, our incomes across the board have stagnated or declined for everyone outside the top 5%. Okay, so very few people are getting ahead these days. In contrast, these prices are going up. So let me give you a few numbers that I think might startle your listeners a little bit. And these numbers are about 3 years old. They're the most recent available data, but you should expect that today's numbers are even worse. So the out-of-pocket cost for a person who's going to go to one of our Wisconsin technical colleges after all grants and scholarships, okay, so I've already taken that discount into account, we're looking at $8,000 a year. We're looking at UW college price tags of over $6,000 a year. And for a year at one of our wonderful universities, we're talking usually about $9,000 a year or more after all grants have been taken into account. Covering that $9,000 a year amount is honestly quite hard, even for people who are earning, you know, say $40,000 a year. They don't get to devote all that money to paying for their child's tuition. It's more than tuition, but for paying for college.
So earlier we talked about the fact that the college debt load has gone up 74%, but also students in Wisconsin are graduating who are graduating with debt rose to 70%, which is the third highest among states. Now, in the past, Wisconsin, especially those private college or I'm sorry, public colleges, Wisconsin was seen as a pretty affordable place to get a really high quality education. Is that no longer the case?
It isn't the case. And I think that the problem here is that we haven't been hearing the alarm bells that are, you know, sounding. This is a pretty big one. It used to be the case that somebody who chose to go to college in the public sector would have such an affordable opportunity that if they worked while in school, they could make ends meet and not have to graduate with debt. These prices are so substantial now that working while in college doesn't cut it anymore. They have to borrow and work. And part of that, frankly, is also because work doesn't pay like it used to. I'm sure many of your listeners did things like I did, which is like waiting tables to go through college. I think people know that today the tips don't add up like they used to. The taxes are higher than they used to be. And really importantly, employers do not give college students the kind of hours they need to cover these costs. They do not just say you can have 30 hours a week if that's what you need. They tend to give out 10-hour increments. And so we have college students who are working 2 and 3 jobs and borrowing for college. Frankly, those numbers you have there, those, I hate to say it, those are the good stories because at least the students graduated. The real crisis today is the people who don't graduate and have debt.
Well, and one of the topics that you look at frequently, Sarah, is for-profit colleges and how that fits into this whole landscape of education and educational debt. How do for-profit colleges fall into that? And define a for-profit college for us.
Absolutely. So for-profit colleges are private institutions that utilize the revenue generated not to plow back into the education of students, but to plow into profit. And for-profit institutions in the United States have taken off rapidly in the last 20 years. Enrollment has been growing very quickly. Some government intervention more recently has helped to stem that. But a very important recent report came out that looked at the really bad student debt out there, the kind of debt where people are defaulting and ruining their credit. And they found that the two main drivers of the increases in that bad debt are, number one, for-profit colleges and universities, and number two, changes in the price at community colleges where states have disinvested. Now, in Wisconsin, we have about 200 for-profit institutions. They enroll about 60,000 students. I'm very concerned that if we're not careful to make our public institutions a good option for students, an affordable one, they will turn to the for-profits. And the for-profit institutions will set their prices as high as they can because people will go to them because they're accessible and they seem affordable because they offer them the loans up front. But very few students graduate, and when they do, they have a ton of debt. This is a very dangerous sector.
We're talking right now with Sarah Goldrick-Robb, Professor of Educational Policy Studies at UW-Madison, and we're looking at college debt in Wisconsin. A new study finds that the average student debt in Wisconsin grew 74% in the last decade.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a recent college graduate, did you graduate with debt? How much debt? Are you optimistic about your ability to pay it off? And do you think there's a way to make college more affordable here in Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Education policy expert Sarah Goldrick-Robb is with us, and we're talking about rising college debt in Wisconsin. According to a new study, the average student debt has gone up significantly in the last decade, and we're taking a look at what can be done about the rising cost of college.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a recent graduate who had to take out loans, what is your outlook on things? How much debt are you facing? And what do you see as a solution to the ongoing issue of rising college debt? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. So this report, Sarah, only reflects those who have graduated. What about students who take out loans and don't graduate? It seems like that's a double whammy. They don't have the credentials or the background of a college degree, but they have a lot of the debt.
That's right. And that is really the most heartbreaking situation because, you know, even a couple of decades ago, it was possible for a young person, or any person, honestly, to think to themselves, I think I'd like to try college. You know, I'm not sure what other alternatives there are to me. And they can go and they can try it. And the price was low enough that, you know, it was sort of minimal risk involved. If they dropped out, then, you know, there wasn't sort of no harm, no foul. That's not true anymore. The risk involved is substantial. Because if somebody goes and does that and then leaves with, you know, they don't leave with a ton, and they leave like with about maybe $5,000 in debt. That $5,000 hanging over the head of essentially a high school graduate is pretty tough to stomach. And the truth is that those people who did not graduate but have small amounts of debt are the ones who are defaulting. So when we hear about the student loan crisis, we keep hearing about people with tons of debt. Those are actually not the people we need to be most worried about. The smaller debt is the debt that's actually ruining people's lives because it's matched with a lack of a college degree and a very low income.
And those payments to pay off the college debt, where is that money going? Is that money staying in Wisconsin or is it going somewhere else?
It depends on who made the loan, but I mean, in this current system where essentially the federal government is making the loans for the most part, it's going back to Washington. And, you know, the real problem is that folks are paying interest. They're not even able to pay down, you know, the principal that well. So these debts hang around for quite some time. You know, I think your listeners would benefit from hearing about a contrast. I think we know how to keep debt down. You know, so the University of Wisconsin-Madison graduates have actually pretty low debt compared to the, you know, the national average. Only half of the students at Madison borrow, and they graduate with an average of $26,000 in debt. Now, the reason they're able to do that is that the state spends far more resources subsidizing the tuition at Madison than it does at other places. In addition, Madison has an endowment that's quite large, so it's able to provide additional grants to students. Moreover, the people who attend Madison are people disproportionately whose families have money. What all of that means is it adds up to less debt for students, and that's a good situation. Contrast that with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, where 33% of people there are on the Pell Grant, which means they don't have much of an income at all. At the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, 73% of people have debt, and the debt is $33,000 a year. That's the average, way above the state average and the national average. So I think we know what we need to do. We need to subsidize the tuition, and we need to have families that have resources. All of our families across Wisconsin should make more than they do right now, and we need to have endowments to subsidize that further for students. But the problem is we don't do that, especially in the places like Milwaukee, where families are struggling the most.
Let's take a call from Jake in Twin Lakes. Hi, Jake.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate you guys are finally talking about this because I graduated from high school about a year ago, a year and a half maybe, and I actually wanted to go to college. And I'm one of those people where I didn't have a family that was born into money or anything, so I have to work for everything on my own. And looking at how intimidating the prices of college would be after graduating just really turned me off to the idea, because I don't know where I'm going to be when I graduate, so I don't want to be stuck with this massive amount of debt when I'm out and not know what to do with it. So, yeah, like it's just, you know, these $30,000 a year colleges, I mean, it's just insane. It really turns people off to going to get a higher education.
And let's go right to another call to try to sneak another perspective in. Elizabeth in Milwaukee is up next. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I just want to also thank you for talking about this. I recently graduated from college in 2013. I graduated top 10% of my class in high school. And going into college, I had to take out loans. I applied for tons of scholarships. And I still walked away with $30,000 in debt. And it is very difficult. I come from a family that didn't have much income. I have younger siblings.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, we're losing you there. But Sarah, two perspectives there. Someone who didn't go to college because of the prospect of debt, and someone who kind of had the dream experience of getting a lot of top scholarships and still came out with $30,000 in debt.
Yeah, this is terrible. I mean, to be honest, first of all, the first student that you talked to, I mean, this is talent loss for the state of Wisconsin. It's happening across the country. We can look at very academically able students with high ambitions who are turning away from college now because of the price. That is not going to help our economy. And your other person, you know, you can hear again, she's very smart and she's got these scholarships. In the past, that person would be all set. Here you are doing all of that great work, $30,000 in debt. The message that sends to people is really problematic. I have heard from young people across Wisconsin that this sort of debt, that they're reconsidering whether they would send their own children to college in the future. I don't think that's going to be a very good situation for our state.
And as we said, there's bound to be an impact on the economy with so many people shouldering this kind of debt.
Well, that's right. Now, I mean, I do have to say, the debt by itself is probably not doing that much damage to the economy, but the problem is that this is debt in the context of an already weak economy. We already are still struggling to come out of the recession, and that by itself is already contributing to lower rates of things like home ownership and consumption. So the debt in that context is particularly bad, and that's the problem with this entire situation, which is that it seems like we created a system for college financing that relies on all of our families having lots of money and our economy doing really well.
Well, we will definitely be continuing to follow this, especially since the state legislature is considering a bill to create a state-based authority to help student loan borrowers. So we will check in with you again on this, I'm sure, Sarah.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Sarah Goldrick-Robb, founding director of the Wisconsin Hope Lab and professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. She joined us to talk about the rising cost of college in Wisconsin.